I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the bit where we test the levels.
I've got something in my eye.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Do you want to remove it?
I can't. I don't know.
Oh, blimey.
Not good.
Are you sure it's something in your eye and not just tiredness?
No.
You
know,
sometimes your eyes flicker a bit when you're tired.
I think it's an eyelash or something. I can feel it. This is quality content, this, isn't it? If
it's
ever
totally
heard
quality
it.
Content. Are you all right now? As long as you can see, because you know.
No, I can see.
Good. Okay.
Did you see that I've got Love Island news for your dad?
Oh, good. We'll save it.
No, but it's related to eyes.
Oh, right. Go on then.
Thea, who was in not last year but the year before, who is now dating Kaz, who was in it the same year, but they didn't get together in the show. They got together afterwards.
Right.
Anyway, that's irrelevant. He has gone blind in one eye because of a champagne cork. Someone popped a champagne cork at a party or something. It flew across the room and hit him in the eye and, like, split his eye or whatever, and they've not been able to salvage it. So he's blind in one eye now.
Really?
It's really, actually really, really sad.
It is really sad. And that's a real... That affects you when you're driving because you've got no... in fact, I'm not sure you can drive if you're blind in one eye. Well, I was going to start with something amusing, but that's not...
It's kind of funny, though.
Well,
like, it's like funny in, like, a morbid way.
Yes, it's funny in that it was a champagne cork.
Yeah.
It's a sort of injury that you would have to be of a certain class to suffer.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's what you call... I suppose it's, in a way, if it weren't so sad and he hadn't gone blind in one eye, it would be a hashtag first world problem, you know, champagne cork injuries. I do have a joke or two.
I wonder how many people die per year from champagne cork injuries.
Do you know, I think there's quite a few. I'm sure I've seen that in statistics.
Yeah, because, you know, like, more people are killed by vending machines than by shark attacks or something each year. I bet that's, like, one of those.
It probably is one of those. Well, here's a joke as we're testing the levels. It's one of Tim Vine's jokes, Ruth. I don't think they went down that well last time. We'll try this one.
Is he, like, wordplay and stuff?
Yes, he's a one-liner merchant. He does hundreds and hundreds of one-liners. Very clever. I went to buy a watch, and the man in the shop said, "Analog?" And I said, "No, just a watch." Yeah, it's all right. I was in this restaurant, and I asked for something Herbie. They gave me a Volkswagen with no driver.
Mm.
So there
we are. That wasn't as good.
You're, I would say, at the moment, winding down still from Leeds Fest.
Yeah, because I've only really had one... Because I didn't get back until kind of later on the Monday because of traffic and all that kind of stuff.
It was afternoon on Monday.
Yeah, afternoon on Monday. And then it was only Tuesday yesterday. So I've just had one day to recuperate.
About 1.5 days. Yeah, 1.5 days. And you've been... What was the word they used in Seinfeld that time? You've been decomposing for the last few...
I'm decompressing. You're decomposing, for sure.
And amongst the things that fail, we'll talk about the accent.
I've lost my voice as well. That's why I sound...
I think I sound
better than I usually do, actually. Mm. I sound more...
husky.
Husky, yeah, whereas usually I'm like... Really high.
It's
high-pitched.
True. It's a touch of the Amy Winehouse.
I think it sounds better now, yeah.
Yeah, you might be right. We'll talk about the acts that played at the festival a little bit later. But obviously the big story, and the thing that worried parents coming out of the festival, was while you were there, headlines, a girl, 17-year-old girl, died through a drug overdose. And you sort of, by connection...
I knew someone who knew her, but I don't...
No, she wasn't a friend of yours.
She's not a friend. The girl who knew her is not really a friend of mine, but she's a good friend of one of my good friends.
Yeah, and it was a talk of the festival.
People did talk about it, but I think there's been more than just that one death. There's been about three deaths from drug overdose over the weekend.
Are you sure? Because there's only one appeared in the papers. Well, only one been on TV, even on...
But maybe... I'm not sure they were all at Leeds Fest. I think some of them might have just been other places.
There was a drug death elsewhere over the weekend, definitely.
So tell me what happened. They were all teenagers,
for people who weren't following the story of Leeds Fest, tell me what happened there.
So she was a 17-year-old girl from Oldham in Manchester, and she took, I think it was three pills, and she was also on some other stuff.
What pills?
Like just pills.
Ecstasy party drugs?
Well, I think the problem is that you don't know what's in pills. They're usually like a mix of things.
Yes, but they would have been sold to her as whatever it was, ecstasy or whatever people take.
They're just sold as pills.
Really?
Yeah.
So people don't know what they could be, junior aspirins.
But often that's one of the things is a lot of people. So she'll have taken these three pills and she was like, they didn't hit her. She didn't like ever come up. And so might have even thought, or they might have just been duds, because that's what some people will do, is they'll make them look like actual pills. Because often they've got like a symbol, like smiley face or a Superman sign or. There was one that you had to stay well away from that they put up on the big screens at Leeds Fest. That was an Uber Eats one. So she might have even thought they were not, like, they were duds. And then she went down to one of the party stage things at Leeds Fest and bought another one and took that. And then she was on her own, I think. I'm not sure whether she's in a tent or not, but she was on her own. And then she just overdosed, I think, and had like a seizure or something. It's really, really like awful, like sad.
And were you, I mean, you were with people who were taking drugs.
Yeah, but like, I think kind of everyone, well, not everyone does, there's a lot of people who don't, but it's quite normal, especially at a festival, and even people who would never take drugs, usually at a festival they
do. But I can't believe they don't know what they're taking.
It's the pill thing that's really bad, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I can't believe people don't know. I mean, they're paying, and it's what, I think you told me £30 for...
£30 for like a gram of MD.
A gram of MD, and what do we call MD?
MDMA, which is...
MDMA?
I think MDMA is just ecstasy.
Right, so that's a party drug. And it's a gram, and what do you do with this gram? Do you sniff it? Or?
I'm going into like an in-depth discussion, not of like the morality of drugs, but just of...
Well, I'm just interested. We can move on to that in a second. But I just want to know...
You do it off like a key. That's what people do with cat and MD. On a key.
So just a house key, like a Yale key.
Yeah, so you do like a key.
And then what, you sniff it, or...?
Yes, usually, yeah.
Yeah, and do you heat it up?
Some people put in water.
Right. Do you heat it up underneath? Is it a powder?
No, yeah, a powder, not like a...
So people at the festival were selling a gram of this powder, which presumably they had in a sort of little wrap, a little polythene...
Like a little baggy.
A little bag, right. Is it called a baggy? Right, so send a little baggie of the powder for £30 for a gram.
Yeah.
Right? And
I feel like the police are going to like...
No, you'd be fine. You're just telling me from... You weren't taking drugs. You've told me, and I believe you, because you're an honest girl. But you weren't taking drugs.
No,
well, that's fine. Let's discuss. But a lot of people were, and you just said it was like almost normal at a festival that people would go and take drugs.
But I think
drugs.
It kind of always has been at festivals, hasn't it?
Well, it's a fairly new scene, I think.
I think drugs are definitely stronger than they used to be.
I'm saying within the last 25 years, it's probably...
Really?
Yeah.
But I thought in the 60s everyone was on something.
No, in the 60s...
Like psychedelics and stuff?
Yeah, some people did. I never took LSD or any of that.
I don't think... People take like shrooms, but I don't think anyone really takes LSD.
I've done magic mushrooms years and years and years ago. That's obviously psychoactive and that can mess with you a lot.
Yeah.
Actually, but I think the most common drug at festivals in the 60s, as I recall, was just weed. What I'm most interested in is that people are taking pills and they don't know what's in them. They don't even sold us what, you know. I know people I know people have had cocaine and it's been cut with something else. That's common. But what I'm saying is, but they buy it as cocaine. What surprises me is that people are buying pills without knowing what they are.
Well, I mean, I don't think they do. I don't really know, because I've never bought a pill.
No.
So I wouldn't know how... Like, I don't think people do know what's in them. I think...
And who's...
But then also, there should be, like... the problem is that at some festivals there has been like drug testing tents where if you want to do the pills or whatever, you can go and take them to the tent and find out what's in them to make sure there's nothing dangerous in them, and then they just give you them back, which is like a brilliant thing because it's it would keep people really safe. But also there should be like more conversation about how to safely do it. So like one of the things is when it's really hot like that and you don't know what's in stuff, you should only have half of one, then see how you are, and then have another half or whatever, and like drop half of the pill. But no one talks about it, and because it's illegal and because people feel like they're in danger if they admit to having done something, that's why you have these deaths, because the people feel too nervous to seek help.
I want to know what the economics of it, you know, compared to alcohol and everything.
I don't know exactly how much everything costs, and it also depends on where you're getting it from. And if you're buying it in the festival, it's a lot more expensive than if you buy it outside of it. But obviously, if you buy it outside, you're risking
so it works
getting taken off you.
Yes, it works the same. Oh, were they examining it as you came into the festival?
Yeah, as you come in. There were sniffer dogs, but a lot of people were saying they weren't even sure whether they actually were sniffer dogs or if they were just dogs that were, you know, like...
They were like there to frighten you.
Yeah, to frighten you, and then they could base people's reactions off it. I don't know whether they were actually sniffer dogs.
People
did get stuff taken off them. People did get stuff taken off them.
And the girl that died, as you say, she bought three pills and then took another pill because she thought the other three hadn't worked, without knowing what was in them.
Especially wouldn't know what was in them if you're buying one from like just someone random at the festival. Like a lot of people were saying afterwards, just buy stuff from people you know.
But the official advice was that...
the official advice is always don't do drugs. But again, it's just not realistic.
No. And people have been less than sympathetic, I gather, from what you were saying yesterday. I mean, that's pretty shocking, isn't it?
A lot of people, and people sort of who...
On social media,
yeah, on
tell
social
me what
media.
Sort of stuff that's gone on social media.
There were a lot of people were saying, you know, like serves her right for being such a smackhead, and which is just awful because obviously she didn't take them knowing what was going to happen to her, and she wouldn't have done if she had have, and it's just terrible that some people would say that.
So everybody's on something.
Not everyone is. Like a lot of people just go and drink and like.
Well, that's
smoke.
What I'm saying. Alcohol.
Oh well, yeah. Nobody really does a festival without. Completely sober, mainly just because I think you'd be too tired as well. Like it'd be hard to keep going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as parents, what we first of all worry about is that you're eating enough and sleeping enough. But we know that's probably not going to happen. And then, of course, you see the news of somebody dying at the festival, and then you worry about what you worry about is that your peer group might put that pressure on you.
No,
and you might feel like
no
a bit
one...
of a pussy if you're not taking drugs.
I think you could do a little bit, but it's also
do you not feel
no
like
one wants to share anything.
How do you mean no one wants to share anything?
It's expensive. Why would you want to?
So people are just taking drugs on their, they're buying them just for their own use.
Unless you're dealing, then you're just buying for personal use. But I think what a lot of people were saying that is one of the problems is that if you buy them outside the festival, it's usually a lot safer because you're more likely to know what's in them, and it's more likely to be sort of from buying from someone you know, someone you like regularly buy from or whatever. But then, and then they take them off you, the stuff that's just for personal use, they'll take all that off you, and they never find people who are dealing, really, because they're much better at hiding things. And
so you're
and
saying
so
is
then,
the
and then what they're doing
all wrong,
well,
because
so
the security
taking,
are catching the wrong people.
Yeah, they're taking the people who are just having got stuff for personal use, but they're not finding the people. Often when people die or when people have these really awful trips or whatever, it's because they bought them from a random person in the festival. So what you're doing is you're taking someone who otherwise might have been safe because they're just using their stuff and then sending them to someone else. You know, if that's what you want to do, then you'll find someone else to buy from. Yeah.
It's interesting that the drug rule follows almost the same as the fast food rule. You know, like a hot dog will cost you £2.50 if you buy it outside on the street, but it will cost you £5 if you buy it at the festival. And it seems to be the same rule with drugs.
It's more expensive if you... Well, it's just supply and demand, I guess, as well, isn't it?
I don't think we spoke about this before. There was a thing I saw, a woman who works for the Sunday Times, who was asked to give a speech. Because she's got this job at the Sunday Times, she was asked to give an inspirational speech to some girls, girls about your age. And she put on Twitter, "I'm giving an inspirational speech to these teenage girls. I don't know what the hell to say to them. Have you got any advice?" And she said, bizarrely, eyebrow management was a major point of all the tweets she got. She got like about 1,000 tweets on this.
Yeah.
And she says, "Eyebrow management was one unexpected theme. Quotes, don't dick about with your eyebrows," said one.
It's really true, actually, because I have older sisters and who really like plucked away all their eyebrows because that was like the fashion back when they were growing up a bit more. And so I've never touched mine or anything.
Good.
And now they're always jealous of my eyebrows because they like are much thicker.
So that's good advice.
So it really is good advice. Cara Delevingne, the model, her mum said, "Don't touch your eyebrows, they're your best feature."
Well, there you go. And there was another tweet she got. It was actually, the first two words were in uppercase. It said, "Do not overpluck your eyebrows." Yeah. Somebody else suggested dyeing your hair a ridiculous colour because hair grows and you're only young once. One strikingly attractive woman made an unexpected observation: having a big nose is not the end of the world. That was her advice on Twitter. Another advised, now this is an interesting one, another advised, don't be the best friend of a more beautiful woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Make sure all your friends are worse looking than you.
Marry a hedge funder was another one.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think the advice marry rich is undergiven.
Yes, except in Jane Austen. We've been watching Sanditon.
It's really good. There's only been one episode, hasn't there? So you've still got time to catch up.
Yes, and that is all about
really good
marrying though. Well. Mm-hmm. As most of Jane Austen is, isn't it, about marrying into money? But anyway, it says, marry a hedge funder didn't seem exactly the inspirational mantra that a bunch of bright, capable girls needed to hear. The television presenter, Kirsty Allsop, she got a tweet from her. Kirsty Allsop said, "It's okay to want kids more than anything else. It's okay to think caring for your kids is a career."
Yeah.
That's.
I think that's quite good advice, though, because sometimes it can feel like unfeminist to want to get married and to want to have kids and stuff. So I think that is quite good advice.
Let's talk now about some of the acts. We're going to play our music choices shortly. But let's talk about some of the acts that were on at Leeds Fest. Very good reviews, and the same acts that were on at Reading Fest.
They always review Reading.
Well, they review Reading because there's the same people
running
Leeds.
Yeah, but it's not fair.
But I presume
they should review Leeds.
I presume the people who were reviewed well at Reading, people like Billie Eilish, were brilliant at Leeds as well. Tell me about the acts, who was good, who was bad. Foo Fighters, a bit boring.
For me, yeah, I thought they were really bad. Although they did have this guy dressed as, he must have been absolutely like tripping or whatever, because he just looked mental. But they got this guy up on stage and he was dressed as Freddie Mercury, and then they just sang. Did they sing a Queen song? I think they did, and that was by far the most entertaining bit. But I'm always underwhelmed by old men with guitars. Just doesn't appeal to me at all. But yeah, I was really impressed with the 1975, even though Matty Healy is maybe the most pretentious I've ever seen, but really good.
Why is he pretentious?
Oh, come I can't on, even put into
yourself.
Words.
Yes, you can. Come on.
So he's like, he just, he kissed this guy in Dubai, you know. Did you see the stories?
No.
I won't go into that then, it's too complicated. So he did this whole bit about, like, I'm so lucky to be here and all that kind of stuff. It was just a lot. And then he talked about, like, picking things up.
Oh, because he was worried he would get arrested in Dubai. Is that the sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the authorities did, and it was a question of maybe this guy will get arrested or whatever. And then he was like, a government loves to, you know, try and control our genitals and all that kind of stuff. And so that was, like, fine. And then he also he said a lot about, let's pick stuff up off the floor for the environment and blah, blah, blah. And maybe you guys don't think it'll make a difference, but I have hope. And like, he's such a wicked dad, honestly, you would agree. But very talented, actually.
I don't think we can use that word.
Oh, can we not?
No.
He's such a dweeb. He's very talented and stuff, and I really like their songs and things. So they were very good. Billie Eilish was great enjoyed her a lot. And then I really liked Slow Tie's set. Slow Tie were great. Went to see Let's Eat Grandma, who were only in the small alternative stage set, and there wasn't really that many people there, but absolutely loved it because I always think those two are great. And Dave was really good.
Before we go into the music choices this week, Ruth, should we shame the Obamas?
Oh, okay. I don't really want to. I like Obama.
Well, let's shame the Obamas. Now, there's a TV series called Grand Designs, which you've no doubt seen. I've seen you watch it. You like it, don't you, Grand Designs? Your mum watches it all the time. It's given homeowners many ideas in 20 years, from bifold doors to underfloor heating. But the programme's presenter, Kevin MacLeod, would like to consign one trend to history, the multi-bathroom home. He said bathrooms are extremely wasteful in terms of resource, yet people are putting more in their homes than there are actual occupants, he said. Four people live in the house and put in six toilets. I don't understand that. The average number of bathrooms in a four-bedroom home is 2.8, which doesn't sound too bad to me, but that's the
average. I feel like four bedrooms, two bathrooms.
Yeah,
would be like.
It's 2.8, so people are putting a little bit of extra bathroom in there. Unlike the Obamas, who are putting a lot of extra bathroom in there.
Uh-oh.
They've just bought a huge seafront property on Martha's Vineyard. Very, very nice in the United States. Largely on the, well, on the money they've got anyway, which is a lot of money, but also on the deal they signed.
Will he have his money just because he was president?
Well, he'll have his money because he's a president. Of course, I think they're both lawyers, so they'll have loads of money from that. And loads of money from, the politics over the years and that sort of thing.
Right.
But mostly for the book deals. They signed a $65 million deal for a book each after their 8 years in the White House. So basically the money they had in the White House, and then they came out and immediately signed a deal for their books, which obviously they wouldn't have got the deal if they hadn't been president and first lady. So that's where the money's come from. Fair enough. But the house, they've got, it's a seven-bedroomed, nine-bathroomed house.
Wow.
So seven
no
bedrooms,
need.
Nine bathrooms.
But although, if they bought the house, then they didn't control how many bathrooms were in it.
No, you're probably right. Although we don't know. Often there's some rich guy's bought two houses in Mayfair and he's installed a river that runs through the house. People do. They add it, and then they dig out the basement.
Honestly,
and
the super rich will be the death of this world.
Well, they will, and as the Obamas are amongst them.
Yeah,
so,
but then again, I also do think
Trump a decent kicking for things. I think it's only right that when.
No, but having nine bathrooms in your house versus putting children in internment camps, not quite the same thing, I wouldn't say.
Well, fair enough.
If you buy a house and it's a really nice house and it's got that many bathrooms, it's not really your fault.
True. So we give a free pass to the Obamas because they are the Obamas.
Not only because they're the Obamas.
See, the more you read about his record.
No, I love them.
Everybody loves them, and they are very lovable. I mean, now you've got Trump, you think, my God.
Bring the Obamas back.
Wasn't Barack Obama articulate? But when you look at his record as president, not that great. Didn't achieve that much.
He didn't do tons and tons, but he was also fighting a bit of an uphill battle because America is so right-wing. Like, Obama might have believed more in sort of social welfare systems and, like, he'd set up Obamacare, but he might have believed in a completely free healthcare system. And he also might have believed in completely banning guns, but you don't know.
But I suppose when you look back at a president, it's what he achieved rather than what he believes. And to some extent, I suppose the president is just a front man anyway. And at that, he was very, very good. But at the end of the day, nine bathrooms.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Should we have some music now?
Yes, let's have our music choice. We'll start with yours this week.
Mine is someone that I saw at the Leeds BBC introducing stage, which is just the very, very small stage that they just have people on all day. It's not so much like structured like the other stages. It's just lots of people. But the BBC introducing has had people like the 1975 and George Ezra and I think even Amy Winehouse, like really back in the day, was on there. Ed Sheeran, all these people have been on that introducing stage. And so this is a girl that I happened to see there, and she was called Mina Rose, and she was really very good. So this is a song called Lemons and Limes. Right now, as I miss the officer, not resuscitating, informants had a ticket pen to fill with the system. Is the system you were scared? I found the trace, not I can cuff you.
A very catchy pop song. Did she do that one on the stage?
Yeah.
And do we know anything about her at all? Where she's from?
Yeah, I can. Yeah. She's from London, and there was an article about her in Vogue saying like the London British artist you need to know. So I think she's probably gonna like get quite famous and whatever. But there's also like not much about her really. No. I'm pretty sure she's quite young.
Mine this week, I'm sort of influenced by the various radio stations that I've worked at over the years, and this is when I was working at Jazz FM, and we used to play this more or less all the time. Ever feel it somehow, somewhere you lost your way? That was Lady Day and John Coltrane by Gil Scott-Heron. Have you heard of Gil Scott-Heron?
Yeah. I almost thought we played Gil Scott-Heron before.
Well, I asked you this yesterday and I looked back through our playlist and I couldn't find... He did a thing, probably it was most famous for, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. I think I played that. I think I played that. Well, this is a different one. This is
Lady
Day.
He's still good. You know what? We've been doing this for a long time and we're running out of stuff, so...
Well, no, you're not running out of stuff, you see, because you've got new ones all the time.
But why don't you get into some new music?
Well, then because it destroys the... I do get into some new music, but it's mostly stuff that you've chosen. I thought that sounds quite good, and put it on my Spotify playlist. So I do have four or five of your artists. I've got Let's Eat Grandma. I've got First Aid Kit. I've got a couple of others.
You like Billie Eilish as well.
And Billie Eilish, yeah. So I am...
Yeah, true.
But the idea
What you need to do is go further back. You're going to have to go classical, Dad.
Well, now it's interesting. I was thinking if I should have some classical on my Spotify playlist.
Oh my God, so annoying. Honestly, everyone at home is getting annoyed with you.
Mm.
And not, I mean, when I say home, I don't mean our home, I mean at their homes. The people.
The people? Which people?
The people who listen.
Ah, right.
That's what they say, people at home.
Yeah. Your mum isn't getting.
Yeah, I bet she. Oh, well, she doesn't say she's. A saint, then?
No, your mum, when we went away for the weekend to the Peak District, and we had my playlist on there and back,
that's not what people are getting bored of. I'm not saying that I would get bored of your playlist, or that I don't like it, or that anyone else doesn't like your music tastes, but I don't like how often you speak about your Spotify playlist and, oh, my Spotify playlist. It's the mentioning of the playlist that's the problem.
Well, Gil Scott-Heron features on my Spotify playlist. He was born on April the 1st, 1949, died May the 27th, 2011. He's no longer with us, I'm afraid. The exact cause of his death, unknown. Currently unknown, it says here, which is, it's 8 years, so it's going to remain unknown. Although he had been battling a severe drug addiction and other health problems.
Well, I wonder
years.
Why he was then.
I wonder. And he was 62.
It's about as obvious as whether Prince Andrew knew that Epstein guy.
Yeah. He was 62 when he died, anyway. And he was a poet, really. And I think we went through this last time, didn't we, as a spoken word performer. And I think last time you said, well, why didn't you play some of the spoken word stuff? And I said, well, because this is the music spot. And I think we might have had a fight afterwards, I think. And,
a fight?
We had a fist fight, didn't we, over it?
It's a really good episode, that one.
Yeah, it was a great episode. You know,
I pulled a knife on Dad.
I remember that. Although we don't joke about knives.
No, do we not?
No. You're learning the limits of what we can actually do, some of the words that we can use and some of the...
Oh, yeah. See if you can spot where I say the word dweeb in this podcast, because dweeb is not my usual go-to.
Wasn't the word that she used, first of all.
But you said... You said the P word, which I think is just as bad.
No, the P word. Well, I know the words that you can use and can't use, in certainly as far as broadcasts go.
Yeah, yeah.
We could use anything on a podcast, but we're still in Acast. We're on the family section, so it has to be family friendly.
But in the Sunday Times Top 100, we're in conversations.
We are in conversations, but that's not a category on Acast. Probably getting too technical now, aren't we, really, about categories and things. People aren't interested, really. Tell you what people are interested in. Very little in the way of emails again this week.
So people are not interested.
Well, it's interesting, because if you look back at... I look at the figures on Acast and everything, because I'm managing this enterprise. So I look at the figures on Acast.
Yeah, I just sit here.
I look at the figures on Acast. And in the early days, when we were getting not that many people downloading it, not that many listens, we got loads of emails. Mm. And the more listeners we're getting and the more downloads we're getting, the fewer emails we're getting. So
it's an enigma, Dad.
But Hugh Besson loves us. Hugh Besson says, well done on the A-level results, Ruth.
Thank you, Hugh.
Well done on the A-level results.
Thank you.
And now you will never need them again.
Yeah.
Like, it's sorry, but it's true.
A lot of people say that.
And he says, brilliant to hear Billy Joel, and that Ruth likes him too. He's a big, big fan. Billy Joel, he was CBS's biggest seller in the late 70s, outselling Simon and Garfunkel and Springsteen. Interesting chat about social media, he said, that we had. He says, I have just under 1,000 followers on Twitter, so not bad for a civilian. He says, largely...
It's way more than me.
Yeah, largely Arsenal-related.
Yeah, it's true. If you... I might just start pretending I'm, like, really into a football team, because that's the way to get loads of followers, is being into a football team.
That's true. He says, all those people we mentioned, Selena Gomez and all those people, with massive numbers of followers, are getting paid to post.
Yeah.
And the kids don't seem to mind. And he's come up with his own scheme to stop trolling and to stop people getting age-inappropriate stuff. But... it's looked very good to me, but it's not Dragon's Den, so I'm not going to totally...
I had a great idea for Dragon's Den the other day. Yeah. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
So, you know, when you've got your phone charger on your bedside table, and it, like, falls off the bedside table all the time, and it slides down the back, or mine is from the side, so it just falls off the table, and then I have to, like, reach down, and I can't... Oh, it's so annoying, you know, when you unplug your phone from it. Really frustrating. So it would be, like, a small rubber thing that's got two suction bits on either side that you can just, like, swoop over the cable, so it keeps the cable in place even when your phone isn't plugged into it.
So you've invented rubber suckers, basically, which...
because it's for that. It's a rubber sucker on one side, and then it's got a little, like, rubber string thing that goes over the top, and then a rubber sucker on the other side. So then it keeps the cable in place on the table while you've not got your phone plugged into it.
It doesn't sound...
Because I was just using a piece of Sellotape for a while, but the Sellotape, then you can't take it off without peeling the Sellotape off.
I think we all have ideas.
How is that not a brilliant idea?
It's not a brilliant idea because it's...
What?
It's not a brilliant
That's
idea.
That's gold.
I'm out.
Someone will have heard that and then they'll copyright it.
Let's talk a wee bit about how difficult it is to be a vegetarian, or in your case, a vegetarian who eats fish. It's a long time since I've been in a McDonald's, but I gather these days you sort of choose what you want on a screen. So you don't.
That's brilliant. The screens are amazing.
Are they?
Love them.
Yeah, right.
So anything that avoids having to speak to people is.
Yeah, well, anyway, you choose what you want on a screen. And there's a video going rounds, which you've probably seen because it's gone viral.
I actually don't think I have.
Oh, it's gone viral. And in this video, a teenager, a little bit like yourself, a teenager orders a single cheese slice from a McDonald's burger restaurant. This has gone viral, 2.4 million views. It's somebody called Tallulah, 14, from Hertfordshire. She used the machine that lets customers remove ingredients.
Yes, so good. Yeah. It's honestly revolutionised.
Yeah, well, she removed everything she didn't want from a cheeseburger, and what she got was a piece of cheese in a box. She got the slice of cheese
She removed that's everything. That's not about being vegetarian, that's just about being weird.
It is about being weird, but it's about removing the meat because I presume she's a vegetarian.
Yeah, but there's plenty of vegetarian options at McDonald's.
Oh, what are they?
There's like a spicy bean patty thing, like a normal veggie burger. Mm. They always have like a cheese bite option. They do salads. The cheese bite option, yeah. And then they do, if you eat fish, they do like a fillet of fish, which I would never have used. Before the screens, I would never have got it because I couldn't trust enough that they would take the tartar sauce out of it, which I hate with like such passion.
Well, you hate any white sauce, don't you?
Anything that resembles mayonnaise or makes me think of mayonnaise, I just hate it. Yeah, so like a bechamel sauce, like Eggs Benedict, could never eat that in a million years because it looks too much like mayonnaise.
I could never eat Eggs Benedict with bechamel sauce, says privileged teenager.
Like mac and cheese, couldn't eat that.
No.
Carbonara, nowhere.
No. Have we discussed what you're going to eat at uni when you're true. For yourself?
I think I'll be okay though. I'm not like, I know I don't cook.
Yeah.
I think we began to discuss this and then went on to a very
long in-depth pizza conversation.
I can cook pasta. How do you feel about the bread at McDonald's?
I hate it.
Because sometimes I really enjoy it and sometimes I'm like, this is awful, why would anyone eat this?
I hate it. I mean, it's a long, long time since
The bread's sweet.
It's very sweet. Everything's sweet in McDonald's.
No, some stuff is really salty though, like the chips are super salty.
Yeah, chips are salty.
I think the stuff in the burgers is really salty and that's why they make the bread so sweet. Do you ever really fancy McDonald's though?
No, never ever.
Because sometimes I really crave.
The last time I had McDonald's, I think I got very, very drunk. You know, for me, very, very drunk. Which was probably about, I don't know, 5 years ago or so. I got drunk and I was in Leeds. I hadn't eaten and I was in Leeds Station. And I thought, you know, catching the last train. And I did that.
I tried to get one.
But I always feel filthy afterwards. I hate it.
Yeah, it feels really good while you're eating it. You know what I do think is majorly overrated? The McDonald's breakfast. I think it's rubbish. Like the pancakes are like dry and there's not enough syrup on them. The hash browns are good, so that's it. They should get rid of everything else and just have the hash browns. I got like a bagel once and it was like really thin and just bread. It wasn't, you'd have been distraught because it was not boiled at all.
I'd have been outraged. High time now, Ruth, for you to feel sorry for men.
Never.
Yeah, this is the patriarchy. Now, you've talked
about... Patriarchy.
The patriarchy or the patriarchy, it doesn't matter, does it?
It does matter, I think.
Yeah, patriarchy, patriarchy.
Patriarchy.
Well, it's one of these made-up new snowflakey words, so...
It's not... The patriarchy is not a made-up snowflakey word.
Well,
it's only,
nobody talks about the patriarchy
in the 70s and 80s, people didn't believe women were as human as men.
I would say patriarchy is a new invention, and I'm insisting on calling it patriarchy.
Okay, so the coining of the phrase is new, but same as the coining of the word racism was new, because people just thought that black people actually weren't equal.
No, that's nonsense.
That is true.
People have always used the word racism. They used to call it racialism, but it's the same.
I bet they didn't in the Victorian, like when slavery in the Victorian era or something.
No, because why?
Yeah, exactly. Well, so then they coined the word when they.
This will shock you, but I wasn't around during slavery.
You've been alive forever, right?
Slavery had finished by the time I was born.
No, slavery is still happening today.
Yes, I know. I sometimes read about.
It's absolutely disgusting.
It is. I read about music stars who've been tied into a contract or footballers.
No. You know,
I can't remember which
actual
footballer it was,
slavery.
But one of them said.
Actual slavery.
Yes, there is. But I recognise it as a problem. And I mean, Theresa May, for one, spoke a lot about modern-day slavery.
Yeah. You know, it's just so sad because you'd think surely slavery would be a thing of the past.
Well, you would think so. I'm going to talk about the patriarchy, because it's not only women who are affected by the patriarchy.
Yes.
According to the actor Chris O'Dowd, so he's an actor, so he should know. He says, one part of the conversation about the changing state of man is that we have not yet fully talked about how damaging the patriarchy or patriarchy has been to men. The truth is, we haven't benefited necessarily from thinking that we are the providers. We have benefited hugely in other ways, but by thinking we are there to protect, not to feel, and to be aggressive, all those things that are beaten into us, or certainly me, so he's obviously suffered in that respect, well, that hasn't been healthy. Modern men mostly feel a lot of guilt for the fact we're men, even if most of the time I feel we haven't done anything wrong. But I'm a man, white, middle class, so I must have done something wrong. Being part of the patriarchy, or do you know, I'm getting to think it's patriarchy.
Yeah, I know, because it is. It is patriarchy.
No, I think you're right.
It's paternity, but it's patriarchy.
Yes.
It's not paternity. Do you see how that sounds wrong?
But it's patronising. It's not patronising. Americans would say patronising.
Yeah,
but patronising.
Maybe the word was coined in America.
Yes, I think what it is
but it's still the right pronunciation.
The Americans go on all the time, the patriarchy. It's the patriarchy, which means that's why it's now pronounced. Patriarchy.
But that is how you pronounce it.
It's rather like people now
patriarchy
say,
sounds weird.
Yeah. I think you might be right. All right then. So he's saying, but I'm a man.
So now we've got to go back and redo all.
But I'm a man. White, middle class, so I must have done something wrong. Being part of the patriarchy is a double-edged sword. So let's have a bit of sympathy from you for us poor men who are...
No, I understand what you're saying and I completely agree, but it's also the thing of, like, men under 45 have the highest suicide rates because they feel they can't talk about their feelings. And also when we talk about feminism, it's important to remember that it's not about females, it's about femininity, which is always seen as a bad thing, and that's like men can't cry because that's like a girly thing to do. Men shouldn't like look after their mental health or seek doctors or therapy because those are all like girly things to do. And so it's about breaking down that and saying that femininity is okay as in the same way. But I also think it's really important when we're talking about women's issues not to get into this thing of, oh, it helps men too, because men need to kind of do that. And I think I get frustrated when there's always an argument when we talk about feminism where it has to be justified about why it would help men, when the real question should just be, this helps women, so get on board.
Just before we do the meme, can we talk a little bit about Taylor Swift? You're a big fan,
always.
Are you not? Yeah. She's
not of her more modern stuff, to be honest. I like her old stuff. Back when I was like about 12.
Yeah, because she started off as a country singer, didn't she?
Yeah.
Country music, and then she was sort of crossover artist.
Now she's very poppy.
Very poppy. She loves us, the English.
The English. Oh, I thought you meant our podcast. I was like, really? Because
I'm not sure she's not said anything yet. She's absolutely totally quiet on the subject of our podcast. But she does love the English. She's going out with a boy from London, Joe Alwyn, who's a London-born actor.
She's always going out with someone.
Yeah, but she's been out with two or three famous.
She went out with Harry Styles for a while.
Anyway, she's written a song about him called London boy.
Yeah, she always writes a song about everyone. It's brilliant.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know the lyrics of London
no,
Boy?
No, I haven't listened to it, actually.
Darling, I fancy you. Took me back to Highgate, met all of his best mates, so I guess all the rumours are true. You know, I love a London boy. Boy, I fancy you, ooh. And now I love high tea, stories from uni and the West End. You can find me in the pub. We are watching rugby with his school friends. It's just so... Show me a grey sky, a rainy cab ride. Babe, don't threaten me with a good time. They say home is where the heart is, but God, I love the English. So here she is with this fairly upmarket, I mean, Highgate. If you want to buy a small pokey flat in Highgate, that's a couple of million.
Wow.
No problem.
I bet this boy that she's going out with is not exactly from sort of the East End.
Not at all. Highgate, watching rugby, and by rugby she means rugby union, obviously.
Ruggers.
Ruggers. In the pubbers.
Yeah, is rugby union posh?
Yes. Well, it is in some parts. In Cornwall it isn't. Cornwall it's a bit of a working class game. In Gloucestershire,
I was
going to
say, rugby league is the only one I've ever watched and been to,
yes,
and all that kind of stuff.
Well, rugby league is true working class sport.
That's the one with six tackles.
Yes, that's...
Rugby union, there's too many of them.
Yes, you
like,
might be.
There's like 20 people on there.
15 each side.
There's like 40 people then.
They're like 15 plus 15 is 30. But anyway.
Have you ever heard the thing that's like, I cannot remember where I read this, but basically, you know when Jesus said, I was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights? So in the Bible, they often use the 40 for different amounts and whatever. And
it's like 40 pieces of silver, is that in the Bible?
I don't even know, but they use it a lot. And basically, when the Bible is being written, you know when we say, I'm trying to think of one. You know when we're saying a quantity, but it's not an actual quantity?
Oh, upteen.
Yeah, upteen, something like that.
One of millions those, or loads.
Yeah, loads, lots, whatever, one of those things. 40 was a way that they would say that.
Right.
So you probably didn't actually go to the desert for 40 years and 40 days. It might have been 20 nights or or 13 or whatever. That's just a way of being like, oh, I was there for ages.
Yes. Kevin Bridges.
Like 40 is not an actual quantity.
Yeah.
And I always think that's really funny.
Mm. You know, one of my favourite comedians, Kevin Bridges, mentioned him. He does a great thing, excuse me, about the Bible. When Mary says to Joseph that she's pregnant with God's child, Joseph is reported in the Bible, which is, of course, reporting what happened, as being quite calm about it and very even-handed about it. At no point, says Kevin Bridges, at no point does the Bible mention him shouting, swearing and thumping the wall. He said no plasterers in Bethlehem got any work out of that particular announcement. He said it's all reported like that in the Bible. He says, but what's missing from the report in the Bible is when Joseph, who's a carpenter, says to the other guys on the building site that Mary's pregnant, and they say, oh, brilliant, fantastic, good work. And then he says, but it's not mine, it's God's, she tells me. He would like the Bible to have reported the reaction of the other guys on the building site. Ruthie, do you have a meme for us?
Yes. Whenever I feel bad about having a weird name, I remind myself that C.S. Lewis's middle name was Staples. When I was a kid, one of my family members quoted the first line of Dawn Treader. There was a boy named Eustace Clarence Scrub, and he almost deserved it. And I said, brave words from a man whose name was Clive Staples Lewis.
I never knew. Is that his middle name?
Yeah,
Staples?
It must be. I mean, should I double check it now?
Double check it.
I did not fact check that, but I hope to God it's Staples. Yeah, Clive Staples Lewis.
Amazing.
And then he named one of his characters Eustace Clarence Scrub, and the whole thing is, oh, what a ridiculous name and stuff.
So he's called Staples. See, that's interesting.
And Clive is not a great name either. Sorry, Clives.
Mm. People, I had a friend called Clive at school, Clive Sutton, but people
are... stories from the 60s, when people say names, they always sound fake.
Mm.
Like, I've never heard anyone tell a story from like the 60s and their schoolmates or whatever, and them sound real names.
Do you know, I think...
Have you heard Bob Mortimer's stories on Would I Lie to You?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His mates are called like Harry Harriman and Steve, by the way.
Yes.
And what's his name? Lee Mack is like, by the way, like, incidentally. Is that yeah, Steve, by the way?
Yeah, I know they are hilarious. And I think if you write a novel, or if you try and write fiction, one of the hardest things, I mean, a lot of authors used to go around graveyards and pick up sort of names of people.
Eleanor Rigby.
From that,
songs as well.
People who've died in that sort of era that they would have been alive then. And it must be so difficult. It's like you say, you write a name and it's a genuine name and it sounds completely fake. If you want to get in touch with us and contribute to our dwindling supply of emails, we'd love to hear from you, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
You can get...
Yeah. Oh, wait, did you want me to... Yeah, so if you would like to get in touch with us, then you can email at martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. That's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. I'll do it one more time because Dad really wants it to be in threes for some reason.
No, I'll do it the third time.
Oh, you want to do it the third time.
Things, the rule of three. The rule of three, you know about that.
Yeah, yeah.
martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to go listen to the podcast, it's very easy. You can go on Spotify and listen to it and then go straight over to the playlist to listen to the songs in full and type in Martin and Ruth or Ruthie, me and my dad.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.